is KSKQ 89.5, Ashland, Oregon, community-supported radio. The name of the show is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. My name is Gary Wilson, and the show contains adult themes. So please, if you have a child, get him out of there. Disclaimer time, Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle is informational only. It is not medical advice. If you do need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of this show is how internet pornography impacts young men, their experiences, and the science behind what they are experiencing. You can visit www.yourbrainonporn.com for video presentations, FAQs, many articles, links to forums for support. The site is secular, it's commercial-free, can't buy anything at all. Today, we do have another one of our touchy subjects. We're going to talk about two intertwined problems seen in internet porn users. Escalation of porn use and something I call morphing sexual taste. Escalation with porn use can manifest in two ways. First, you can have increased porn use, increased time using porn, or you can have moving into new genres of porn. Oftentimes, you're moving into genres that are more shocking to the user. Here's an example of someone escalating by spending more time using. Quote, "Back in the day of dial-up, I was only able to download the occasional picture, very soft porn, due to bad, slow internet and not knowing where to find all the smuttery. But now with high speed, even to mobile phones, it has made me continuously watch more and more and at higher resolution. It sometimes becomes a whole day affair looking for the perfect one to finish. It never, ever satisfies. Need more, the brain always says. It's such a lie." End quote. So this is an example of using more over time, but escalation can occur through moving through new genres of porn, maybe into hardcore material, violence, sadomasochism, gangbang, etc. Or escalation can manifest as watching perhaps a new fetish that never interested you before, such as a foot fetish, or Japanese hentai, or tentacle porn, or bestiality. The list, unfortunately, is endless. Here's an example of someone escalating through genres. Quote, "When I got internet back in my late teens, I found many YouTube-like porn sites that categorized its content by fetishes. At first, my taste in porn was that of a normal teenage boy. But taking a closer look over the years, I noticed my taste in porn have shifted into more aggressive content. Violent themes against women, to be more specific, especially those anime hentai videos with scenarios that were too vile to be portrayed in real life. Eventually, though, I got bored of that stuff, and when I entered my 20s and found new stuff, that's what was interesting to me at the time, that my taste in porn had changed more and more frequently. So within a year, I had acquired so many new fetishes, each changing in a short time frame. As of now, I'm doing the 90 days without porn, because my tastes are now making me really uncomfortable because it's conflicting with my sexuality." End quote. Now, this is not about which fetish is acceptable or acceptable. This is how the porn user feels about where he's ended up. He is not really finding himself sexually, as his tastes have continued to change, as he's continued to use porn. And this is what guys describe who escalate. They just say it's a moving target. Now, escalation can involve getting hooked on genres that really don't match your sexual orientation. For example, straight men can end up using gay or transsexual porn, or gay or lesbians can end up watching straight porn. Here's an example of this. It's a quote from a young guy. "The very day I got the internet, I went to porn sites. After a while, the typical porn wasn't really a turn-on, so I shifted over to lesbian porn, which was exceptionally arousing. Wow, two women having sex. Years passed, and one day while searching for lesbian porn, I came across an ad for transsexual porn. I can't really explain what happened. I never been attracted to it before in my life. But all of a sudden, the idea of a woman with a penis seemed, well, so exciting. I don't know if that's the right word. Something just snapped in my head. It was like a new high. Lesbian porn now seemed ordinary. I could tell something wasn't quite right because as I masturbated, I actually felt physically sick. I was thinking, this just doesn't feel right. But it aroused me. It actually arouses me. Why? End quote. Now, on a side note, transsexual porn is actually very popular. But, interesting enough, only with straight guys. But I want to emphasize here, this happens to gays and straights alike. And all were sure of their sexuality. Many had partners. Most importantly, when they stopped using porn, stopped fantasizing about porn, their sexual taste reverted to how they were before porn use. And that's a key point. Here's a straight guy who ended up watching only gay porn and was quite confused about it. Quote, I made it just 10 days this time without masturbating, but I'm confident my tastes are shifting back. My attraction to women was amped up a lot. I actually got butterflies and spontaneous arousal while looking at a woman for the first time in 2 years. I also had a kind of a revelation. Have my taste been manipulated by constant reinforcement and conditioning via masturbating to particular fantasies? End quote. Now, here's a guy who actually developed a foot fetish watching porn. Quote, gradually, I became addicted to a foot fetish porn and I eventually couldn't get it up for actual sex. You have no idea how embarrassing that is. Then I got into a situation where I couldn't look at porn for a month and a half, and I couldn't masturbate either. 6 weeks later, I was waking up with erections, and sex was like the old days again, end quote. So you can see this is a reversal of something that occurs while watching porn. Now, I know this is really a touchy subject, so I want to be clear about all this. We are not talking about reparative therapy for sexual orientation or for fetishes. The entire discussion here concerns long-term internet porn users who experience decreasing excitement with the current genre of porn, maybe something they watched for years, and then experience more excitement with a new genre, one that actually got them off. So their sexual taste, their porn taste actually, evolved over a period of time, perhaps years. And most, but not all, really had no desire to act out the fetish in real life. That's another clue. This is really simple. Porn use brought about these changes, and then removing porn reversed these changes. So this is clearly not some type of innate sexuality. It's really the brain's response to desensitization or the conditioning of continually watching this stuff. You know, at the moment, there are respected sexologists declaring that if someone is upset by his fetish porn taste, even if they showed up after years of extensive high-speed porn use, he can do nothing about them or he would be engaging in reparative therapy. Protecting sexual orientation from reparative therapy is a great goal. But it's really unethical to pursue it at the expense of conflating sexual orientation with more superficial taste, altered through years of being exposed to internet porn. The latter often bear little relationship to one's sexual orientation. This is discussed in The Brain That Changes Itself. It's a book, a very popular book by psychiatrist Norman Doidge, a best-selling book on the science of neuroplasticity. How the brain, neuroplasticity is how the brain is continuously rewiring its circuits. It talks about how amazingly adaptable the brain is to input and the environment, both positive and negative. Now, he has an entire chapter on sex and love, and much of the chapter is devoted to internet porn because he was seeing a lot of men in his practice starting to come down with sexual problems related to their internet porn use. So here's a rather long quote from Norman Doidge, the author of The Brain That Changes Itself. Quote, during the mid to late 1990s, when the internet was growing rapidly and pornography was exploding on it, I treated or assessed the number of men who all had essentially the same story. Each had acquired a taste for a kind of pornography that, to a greater or lesser degree, troubled or even disgusted him, had a disturbing effect on the pattern of his sexual excitement, and ultimately affected his relationships and sexual potency. The current porn epidemic gives a graphic demonstration that sexual taste can be acquired. Pornography, delivered by high-speed internet connection, satisfies every one of the prerequisites for neuroplastic change, forming new neural circuitry. Pornography seems, at first glance, to be purely instinctual matter. Sexually explicit material triggers instinctual responses, which are the product of millions of years of evolution. But if that were true, pornography would be unchanging. The same triggers, bodily parts, and the proportions that appeal to our ancestors would excite us. But in fact, the content of pornography is a dynamic phenomenon that perfectly illustrates the progress of an acquired taste. End quote. That was Norman Doidge from The Brain That Changes Itself. Now, it's interesting in that quote I just read that he is describing treating men before the advent of high-speed porn, really, back in the late 90s, or free tube sites. That's just something to keep in mind. So what's going on here? Let's jump back into this concept of escalation of porn use and how they're intertwined with morphing sexual taste. In essence, both are signs of addiction-related brain changes. Specifically, it's desensitization of the brain's reward circuitry. Now, desensitization leads to what addiction experts often call tolerance. Tolerance is the need for greater and greater stimulation to get the same level of excitement. More often than not, you rarely get the same level of excitement as you did in your early days, but that's what tolerance is. Now, one of the main causes of tolerance is desensitization, and desensitization is really declining dopamine signaling. So the reward circuitry is producing less dopamine in response to a stimulus. And in fact, the brain becomes less sensitive to whatever dopamine you are producing. You actually have fewer dopamine receptors. They just sort of disappear. Remember from previous shows that dopamine is behind all desire, cravings, and of course, it powers our libido and our erections, if you have an erection. In essence, tolerance is chasing dopamine. It really is. But you can't get enough of it. Never get enough of it. Now let's think about drugs and alcohol. Tolerance leads to using more of drugs and alcohol, or perhaps using more often, perhaps more frequent binges. What about behavioral addictions? Again, it's more. A video game addict will simply play longer. Sometimes the video game addicts will play all through the night, get a blood clot, and die. We've heard of those stories. A gambling addict may spend more time gambling, or another choice is to make bigger wages. But again, the key concept is that with other addictions, you want more of the same. But with internet porn, you want different. You want novelty. You want the new picture, the new scene, the new actress, the new sex act, the new genre, because it's novelty in this case that jacks up your dopamine. You're not going to sit and stare at Miss September over and over for about 5 years in a row. No, you're going to get on your computer and click away. So sure, you can escalate with internet porn by spending more time using it, but you can also feed your cravings by heading into new territory. So you don't need more like other addictions. In fact, interesting enough, a German study found that compulsive porn use was not really correlated with the length of time using porn. Actually, it was correlated to what the Germans called the number of applications employed or use. Now, what does that mean? This means that they had multiple tabs open, they were clicking to new scenes, they were clicking from video to video, and they're clicking to new genres. So that was what was related to actually compulsive porn use. This explains why many studies that try to assess problematic porn use based on hours per week used are actually underreporting the problem. There are a lot more problems with studies, which I'll save for a later show. So another key point is that a porn user will escalate through genres without really ever noticing they have a problem. And this is unlike a drug addict or a gambler or even a food addict. You know you're eating way too much, you're getting heavier, or you know you're using more drugs, but you don't really recognize this if you are escalating due to tolerance through a bunch of genres. Now, most young guys actually think that this is normal porn use to do this escalation and go through a bunch of genres, needing harder core porn or weirder porn just to get off. In fact, it's a running joke on a lot of forums. Here's a quote that really shows this. Quote, "Since the age of 14, I've been a porn junkie. It started with low stimulation pictures on my grainy Nokia. And from there, it only progressed. What could get me off 4 years ago did nothing for me 3 years ago. What sent me to cloud nine last year elicits little more than a yawn this year. The quest for ever more stimulating content has come at a cost. I'm in a relationship with a girl of my dreams, but I can't give her what I want. Sometimes I struggle with ED. Worse, I cannot orgasm for her, and she's starting to ask why." End quote. So what we can see from this, and of course this is what the show is all about, is that internet porn is unique, especially high-speed internet. It has the unique ability to allow one to escalate through all sorts of crazy genres that couldn't be done before the internet, that couldn't be done with other porn. How could anyone escalate with magazines from the 70s? Would you just keep flipping back and forth through the pages between Miss March and Miss September? I guess you could run down to the 7-Eleven and buy some more. That might take sort of the gas out of your excitement. How could you escalate with 1980s VHS tapes? Fast forward it to what? You know, the pizza delivery guy? I don't know. Maybe run down to your video store? It's just not possible. So with high-speed internet, as soon as you are feeling just the slightest bit of drop in your excitement, which means less dopamine, you can click to anything new in a split second. You can have multiple tabs open, all HD videos, each with a unique fetish, and you can just click back and forth between each one. As soon as your excitement wanes, on to the next one. Excitement wanes, on to the next one. Click to the next. And this is how you can keep your dopamine elevated and elevated, and how you can keep escalating without ever noticing it. So internet porn does take advantage of the novelty and how novelty raises dopamine, but there's more mechanisms in the brain that internet porn takes advantage of. In other words, other ways it can raise dopamine. For example, the simple act of searching or seeking or exploring all raise dopamine. In essence, that's surfing the net for porn. Here's an important one. Strong emotions like fear or anxiety can raise dopamine. Fear or anxiety raise cortisol and adrenaline, which also enhance dopamine's effects. And cortisol and adrenaline actually strengthen memories and tell the brain, man, this is really, really important. Remember this. This is perhaps why anxiety-producing genres that may be appealing to a desensitized brain. These types of genres are the type that you watch and say, I can't believe I'm watching it. Now, finally, another thing is that violation of expectations raise dopamine. This is the oh my God moments, the whatever shocks you, like a horror movie or maybe bungee jumping or a roller coaster. I described these as separate entities, but clearly you can combine anxiety, novelty, strong emotions, and violation of expectations into one single event. And that's what internet porn users do when they escalate to a type of porn that doesn't really match their innate sexual taste. So to sum it all up, escalation to new genres is often fueled by a desensitized reward circuitry searching for stimulation. This is called tolerance. Now, unlike other addictions, internet porn is a search for novelty, not more of the same. And unlike porn of the past, the user can instantly take advantage of all the dopamine-producing qualities of high-speed porn by combining shock, anxiety, strong emotions, violation of expectations into a single experience. Now, you combine this with the reinforcing experience of an orgasm, and you can rewire your sexual response to a fetish or a type of porn that would normally turn you off or even disgust you. And this is what we see happen. But here's another piece that is often left out, and I've discussed before, is teen brains. Teen brains are not adult brains. Teen brains produce far more dopamine for novelty than an adult brain. In fact, at age 15, you are at your peak for dopamine production and sensitivity. Also, teen brains have less aversion to what's yucky or gross or disgusting. That's maybe why they like slasher movies, so they can look at some porn that would normally turn off an adult. They also like to sort of challenge each other. Hey, you want to look at this? Teen brains are also most importantly, far more plastic, far more malleable than adults, so they can rewire easier and faster to these new genres of porn as they escalate through them. In fact, the main purpose of a teen brain is to rewire itself to all sexual cues so it can successfully reproduce. So that's why we see young guys who grew up using internet porn taking so much longer to recover from porn-induced sexual problems, such as ED or delayed ejaculation or cravings for types of porns that really don't match their pre-internet porn use. Here's another important note. Please do not compare internet porn use to playing video games. I bring this up because this is the usual argument that many use and say, well, teens know that porn isn't real, just like they know video games aren't real, so it's no big deal. This is nonsense. We have no innate sexual circuits for ninja killers or action or violence found in the Call of Duty or World of Warcraft or any of those. Those are games. However, we have huge parts of our brains, circuits devoted to sexuality and reproduction, nature's number one priority. And teen brains are primed to learn about sex, consciously or unconsciously, and they are wiring their brains to this stuff. Remember, teens aren't playing a game. They are watching real people have real sex, and they're doing this long before the teen has real sex. So this is what they're wiring to. And this is a very important point because it causes internet porn to rewire and shape some of our young guys' sexuality. Alcohol, drugs, nicotine cannot do this. Video games, gambling cannot alter innate sexual circuits. So that's a very important point. Now, what I'm going to end on is an article that came out a few weeks ago that I haven't mentioned yet by a young man. His age is 23. It's on Salon.com, Salon.com, and he has a long article describing his experience. The name of the article is "Did Porn Warp Me Forever?" The name of the author is Isaac Abel. And he starts it off by saying, like other boys my age, I grew up with unlimited access to porn. At 23, I wonder if it's totally screwed me up. Now, he later goes on to describe how it's affected him, how he can't have normal sex, how he needs to think about porn when he does it. So that's a great description. You can hear it from the horse's mouth, as they like to say. Did Porn Warp Me Forever? On Salon.com by Isaac Abel. So that's all the time we have. Next week, I'm going to continue on this subject and look at how sexual tastes are actually somewhat mutable.